Like to write something on the board, so give us just a moment here. So if you can't see what the board says, I'll read it to you. It says, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I was raised but with a lot of old adages and colloquial sayings, and this is one that I heard many times through my years of growing up, and some of you have heard this as well. So if we think of an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure, we all know that there is 16 ounces in a pound, right? At least it was when I went in school. And so if we consider the price per ounce, then the ratio would be 16 to 1. So I want us to keep that in mind. If I was to take a survey here this afternoon, I would venture to say that most all of us here are either own a vehicle or are acquainted with one that has 200,000 miles on it. Now, there was a time that was completely out of the ordinary, but it's not so far out of the ordinary today. And to get it to that point, there's been several things that has happened. One is there's better components and there's better materials, both in the manufacture and also in lubrication today. But it's still not so uncommon to see failure at a much lower mileage. And most generally, it's because someone has not ever heard this little phrase that I have on the board. And we see this from time to time in my line of work. I don't know what you pay for an oil change, but everything is a little different, prices, different areas. But if you just use $50 for an oil change and you've done it every 5,000 miles, that's just 40 oil changes. 40 oil changes times $50 is just $2,000. Well, that's quite a bit of money, but have you priced an engine lately? You need to start at least at 5,000, and it goes up from there. So it's important for us to think about how important preventative maintenance is, and how an ounce of prevention, even though it might not be the kind of prevention that you just want to do right now, could be so valuable down the road. The time to change the oil is before it breaks. Because I work in that field, there's many times someone comes in and says they just changed the fluid and then something failed. And it's because they had a problem and they was hoping changing the fluid would fix it. And it didn't. The time to paint and the time to caulk and the time to put the roof on is before there's been structural damage to the building. And the time to protect your ears from hearing loss is before you need hearing aids. I'm at that place, and I've never wanted to put stuff in my ears or wear earmuffs, and now I'm reaping the benefits of that. My age and the constant noises that I've been subjected to over the years has reduced my ability to hear. But it's too late. I mean, I guess I can save what I got still, but it's too late for me to preserve the hearing of my youth by going and adding on extra ear protection. The time to do it was many years ago. That's when I should have started. And obviously, the time to fortify our soul and solidify our confidence in God and what He can do for us, both spiritually and physically and in our relationships, is not halfway down the road. It's not down the road a ways to where you realize that life has some troubles in it and life has tests in it. It's before that that we need to start applying ourselves. The obvious importance of preventative maintenance is to maintain the original functionality and performance. And if we don't do that, it'll gradually deteriorate. And then we have to make a choice. The choice being to make a repair or to purchase a replacement. And I'm talking about our temporal things, our mechanical transportations, or maybe other things that you have around. If you have a button that don't work on your microwave and you don't fix it, somewhere along the line when two or three buttons don't work, you're going to make the decision, do I pay the price to fix it or do I just throw it away and buy another one? The enemy wants to get us in a place to where instead of making repairs, we throw it overboard. Yes. Instead of maintaining it and at the before there's really a symptom, we're cultivating a atmosphere where things are, our relationship is prospering and it's gaining and it has the room to gain ground. But instead of that, if we don't do our preventative maintenance spiritually, things start to deteriorate and things begin to crumble. And then we're faced with that decision. Do I humble myself and ask the Lord to help me start over? Or do I just throw it out the window and say, I never really felt like it was doing anything for me? That's the place the devil wants to get you. And he wants to push you over the edge to saying it's not worth it. So I'd like to go this afternoon to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and notice what Peter says beginning in, I believe, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5. He begins by saying, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's goes without being said, I guess you would say. It's a common knowledge. The devil is out to destroy us. He wants to trip us up. He wants to cause us to have failure. He wants us to not prosper. He doesn't want us to maintain our spiritual integrity, nor does he want us to grow. He says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I'm thinking this afternoon about this verse 10. He says, but the God of all grace. This is the reciprocal. This is the opposite of what the devil's intent is. The devil's intent is to bring deterioration, destruction, failure, unwillingness to go on in our relationship with the Lord. And And this is the opposite of that. He says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus. There is a calling to spend eternity with God. That's the gospel message. He wants all mankind. He's not willing that any should perish. But he says here, this God, our God, that is all of all grace, hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To become perfected, to become established, to become strengthened, and to become settled is not something that happens instantaneously. All of those happen because there's been some consistency, because there's been some maintenance. It's very unwise to disturb the earth and not do something to cause the earth to settle before you start building on it. If you dig a hole and you loosen everything up and then just pour a little concrete in it and start building something on it, it's not, it needs either some time or some kind of mechanical settling a function to happen before you begin to build on it. So it takes some time. It takes some intentional direction to be able to become settled, to become strengthened, to become established. And we do that by putting effort into something that doesn't look like it needs to be fixed. All right? Probably doesn't need to be fixed, but it still needs effort spent on it. It's sometimes a judgment call, we say, as to decide when is the right time to maybe replace a tire, for instance. The inspiration for this came before we lost a tire, but as I was driving away from my flat experience, I was thinking, I checked the air in my tires before I left. And it was good. In fact, the day before, I adjusted the air pressure, and just before I left, I checked air, make sure there's nothing, no leak happened overnight. I was wanting to make sure I was okay. Yes. But so I'm driving down the road, and when I look up in the mirror and I see smoke, and then when I'm trying to stop and I see sparks, and I was wondering if I was going to have a fire to put out, all of those things made me wonder, how did this happen? I thought I did the things that I should have done. But as I began to think about that, driving down the road, the next time I stopped, I looked at the other tire that was the same age as that, and I had an answer. The tread was good. You don't put a lot of miles on a trailer a lot of times, but there was all these little cracks developing but in the tread, in the rubber. I know what happened. It dry rotted on me and it just come apart going down the road. I should have put two tires on. I didn't look close enough. I didn't spend my resources I could have prevented it. It was, now I get back in the vehicle and I told my wife, we need to pray that we can make it all the way because I only have one spare. And we did, which I'm very thankful for. But there is effort that has to be spent to be able to keep us settled, to keep us established and make us established, to cause us to be in a place where we can grow. We say, well, this verse here is God wants us to grow. Well, he does want us to grow. But we can't grow if we don't maintain what we've already got. So another little thing in my life is this past March, and it's an annual thing, we do some training, and this year was a little bit different. Signed up for one class, and they said, well, before you come, you need to do this online little training exercise. And so from you download this app on your phone, and we're all familiar with that nowadays. And so every day I get four questions. And they don't sound like much, but you spend every day, you spend 10 minutes, whatever it takes, to answer four questions. And when you finish answering the fourth question, it says you're done for the day, come back tomorrow. And so every day I have to answer four questions until the class, the actual class that I was in. And I noticed after, I thought it would stop. And after that, I noticed that every day I get four new questions. And I thought, oh, the class is over. Well, what's the deal? And then I get to looking at, there's points that I've accumulated from answering all those other questions. So I thought, well, this is interesting. I decided, well, I'll start doing it again. And I started noticing that these other names, people that I don't know, some of them was way ahead of me. And I began to start answering my four questions every day. And as time has went on, I noticed others, their points started diminishing. I know they was more than I was. For now they're less than me. Here's what happens. When I quit answering questions, I start losing points. When we quit maintaining, we start losing ground. When we stop doing the maintenance and we start paying for the ounce of prevention that's like, is this really necessary? We'll start losing just a little bit of ground. It's maybe not, I haven't figured it out yet how many points a day you lose for not answering any questions. But it's something, because I noticed this other fellow's name, Roberto something, and he's losing points every day. He was twice as much as me, and now he's less than me. Just four questions a day. How much time do we spend to maintain? How much effort do we put in for maintenance? Do we decide it's too expensive? Really, if we don't maintain, the hopes of growing pretty much goes out the window. We look around us, and as we get older, we're looking for more things that have low maintenance or no maintenance. We like machinery that don't have grease fittings on it, because that means we don't have to go around and pump grease into it. We like sealed stuff up where it's use it till it's all used up, because nobody likes to do maintenance. Nobody likes to check the air in their tires. No one likes to maintain relationships. And unfortunately, we can fall into no one likes to take the time to read. I've been reading the Bible for a long time, and some of you have been reading the Bible longer than I've been alive. But you can't quit. If you quit, you start losing ground.
Right.
In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, familiar scripture here. Hebrews 10 and 25 tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, if you've been in a congregation a while, you probably can pretty well predict who's going to testify and who's not. You might even predict who's going to lead out in prayer. And maybe if you've been coming to a camp meeting, you begin for a long time, maybe you begin to predict maybe the particular minister's actions or whatever, who's going to preach or not. And you begin to make all of these things. I know how it's going to happen. I know how it's going to develop. I can get that much just sitting and reading my script, reading the Bible myself. What's the use of going? I'm going to tell you, that's an expense that you need to make.
Amen.
You know, the times, there, if I get a person's vehicle in that with a concern, that means something is broke. And I'm telling them it's going to take whatever it is to fix your concern. If I recommend maintenance, do you know they almost all, if they're going to cut their budget on anything, let's don't do that maintenance right now. Let's fix the blower motor, but I don't have the money for the oil change right now. Let's fix whatever it is, but that filter or that other thing that you're suggesting, let's don't do that. Oh, wait till we pull it in on the hook, and then we'll worry about that. I'm willing, here's what we're saying, I'm willing to pay 16 times more. Or, if that goes out, I'm just going to get another car. I'm just going to throw it overboard. I'm just going to quit. You know how many times the enemy wants to tell each one of us, you face so many broken things in your life, you just ought to quit. Lord, help us to not ever quit. But not just make that decision, but you know, I believe the Lord has a place of spiritual prosperity for us all. He wants us to do well. He wants us to be to grow in our soul. One of the things for us to do, it costs some time. You know, we have, I have to clean up before I can go to service. I can't go straight from my job to service very effectively. I have to clean up. But I've found over the years that if I'm thankful that I have put that effort in.
Yes.
I've not made a practice of staying away.
Right.
I'm afraid to.
Yes.
I'm afraid to stay. I'm afraid of what the end result will be. I'm afraid that the cost will cause me to be more susceptible. I fight the enemy enough that says, quit and give up and you're a failure. And you've made so many mistakes and all of those kind of accusations. I contend with that enough. I can only imagine how hard the battle would be if I was not as consistent with being in service. It would be, I promise, it would be a lot worse. It would be more difficult for me to resist the enemy than it is now. In Titus, in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, we know what that verse says. It says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We touched on this. Young people, you might start out and say, well, I'm gonna read the Bible through. Well, good. Do it again. I've already read the Psalms. I've already read the New Testament. Good. Do it again. Here's what you'll find. You'll find there's a little nugget that you missed once before. You'll find something that you won't get it all the first time. I remember years ago, somebody that's more familiar with this than me could answer this better, but I remember years ago, someone harvesting soybeans, I think it was. It might have been wheat, but I think it was soybeans, through the field with a combine, and they went back and marked out like a foot square or something on the ground, and then they begin to count the beans they found in that square. And then they had a formula for calculating how many beans that they missed. They should have went in the hopper, and it was going out the back of the machine. And they were determining how efficient, you know, if they counted, I don't know what the number was, that was an acceptable amount, but you just go past a grain field a few days or maybe a few weeks after harvest, and if there's been a little rain or something, you'll see they didn't get it all. There's some things sprouting out there. There's some things coming up. Well, we have to realize that we don't always get it all the first time we read. There's going to be some other little, there's some other gleaning that we can do. There's some more good. And you might find that your first understanding that you got from that chapter or that verse, the Lord can add something else to that and open up your understanding to something new. And that's where the growth comes. And it all happened because you were investing in this ounce of prevention. Oh, what do you do before you go to work? Some people might say, well, I get up and watch the news. Well, I'm going to tell you, I can't think of a worse thing to go to work on than the news. I'd rather go to work after reading a few scriptures, a chapter, just a few verses. There's a lot more that I can take with me and meditate on than another bad event has happened. And I go to work thinking about the negative things that the news has presented to me, and I have to deal with that all day. Instead, I can take a few verses, and maybe I didn't get as much as I should have, but as I go about the day, the Lord can bring something back. He can use that to work with me. And if I hadn't have spent the price of the ounce in prevention, I wouldn't have been able to make any spiritual growth. My points would have went down. I would have lost some ground instead. And you know, if you skip 2 days, it's a lot easier to skip the third day. If I skip two services, what does it matter if I'm only there once a month? It becomes just a random thing instead of a maintenance thing, a consistent thing. So I want to challenge you, if you're in a place that you can be in service, be in service. There's not an excuse. You have the scripture and you can read, and there's so many options. You just don't have an excuse for not putting the word into your head. If you're blind and you can't read, you can listen to it. You can, there are just so many things. My wife's grandfather was blind the last, 20 plus years of his life. And many times when he came to service on Wednesday night, he would have a testimony about how the Lord directed him to put the right cassette tape in, and the verses that he heard on the tape was just so encouraging to him. But he didn't know what he was getting. He was just, if somebody went and mixed his tapes up in his little holder, he wouldn't have known Psalms from Job. He would have just picked one up and put it in. But he had an avenue where he could listen. We just don't have an excuse if we want to spend the ounce of prevention. If we don't do it, we're going to be faced with a repair that very likely will decide it's not worth it. And the enemy will chalk up another victory. So I'd like to go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and notice the first verse. He says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." You know, it takes effort. Why is it a weight? It's something that we just can't bear to turn loose of, or it's just something that we just don't take the time. I see a lot of different vehicles in the course of my work, and some people, when you get in their vehicle, it looks like they brought everything with them. Some of them have a lot of stuff, but it's real organized. They might have little stacks, neat stacks, and they might have little containers that hold things. And some people, it looks like they just bought the car. There's nothing in it. I mean, they just, maybe their registration in the glove box, but they just keep it void of any, they keep it cleaned out all the time. But most of them that I see have an old feed sack or a pair of coveralls or pieces of broken machinery and tools and all this kind of stuff up on the dash and in the door panels, and it's just full. How long would it take to clean it out? I remember one time a fella came in and I had to put a heater core in this truck. And I told him, I said, I'm going to have to charge you extra because I can't get to it. I just, the passenger side of the cab was full. I cleaned out mud and straw and tools and buckets and all. I got to charge you some extra time. It just takes a lot of time to get all this out of here. I should have done that. We should too. It says here, let us lay aside all the weights. What are you taking along with you? I don't know. We can take along some attitudes and some dispositions. We can take along some feelings. We can take along some things that should have been turned loose of a long time ago. Some opinions, perspectives that maybe is so old, like that old sandwich or a package of crackers or something, that you're not going to eat it anyway. You should have got rid of it. Lord, help us to be willing to take the time to unload the rubbish out of our life. That's part of maintenance. Don't we call that maintenance? If we didn't ever sweep the floor at the house, it wouldn't be so nice. If we didn't ever wash the windows, it'd get to where we couldn't see out of them. Lord, help us to spend the ounce today. You've spent it this afternoon here. I don't want to keep you a long time. I want us to understand the importance of paying, giving our resources for an ounce of prevention. It'll pay 16 times is the thing I want. The potential is there of the cost going out the roof if it comes time to need a repair. I'd like to end with a verse in Proverbs, the 18th chapter. And I want us to realize the exponential cost of repair over prevention. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, in the 19th verse. It says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. I wished I could stand here today and tell you that I don't know anything about that, but I do. What does it cost? How do you pay the price? How do you know how to start? I'd like to see those kind of things fixed. You know, right there, the enemy wants to say, it's not worth it. You can't do it. There's no way that that'll ever happen. Even if you did your prevention, or whether you did or not, this is a high price. To win an offended brother, it says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now that puts 16 to 1 at a better advantage, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like a bargain to just be 16 to 1? I think this is more than that. Lord, help us as we go through life, because we're going to be faced from time to time with things that's going to be so exorbitantly costly that we don't see any way. And that's where the devil would like to say, you might as well quit. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well not try anymore. You might as well not profess. You might as well quit trying to be effectual because the cost is too high. I don't want to do that, but I don't want to get in that place if I can keep from it. I don't want to get in the place where the repair is something that I have to make a decision over. I'd rather make a decision on the ounce of provision, wouldn't you? I'd rather make a decision about spending a few dollars. $50 is a whole lot easier to come up with than $5,000. And every time I spend, I'm just using $50 for an example, but every time I spend a little bit, an ounce of prevention, I've kicked the can of a pound of cure down the road just a little bit further. The possibility is always out there that I'll need some cure, but I've pushed it down the road a little bit farther because I've been willing to invest in prevention. You pray for me. I want to be faithful. I want you to be faithful too. I don't want you to lose points. I don't want you to forget that little point in our little message this afternoon. Don't quit buying the ounces of prevention, because if you do, you'll lose points even if you don't have a breakdown. You pray for me.